Niall, as I mentioned earlier, you were with the Active Retirement Group in Bray a couple of weeks ago, giving one of your wonderful talks. The title of the talk?
It was Garden Birds, short sweet.
Very appropriate, given that the Dawn Chorus is just around the corner, 5th of May.
That's right, and I was focusing a lot as well on the different sounds the birds are making, because, you know, I like to tailor the talk depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
This is the time of year when you talk about bird song, you talk about bird territories, you talk about nesting and all of that. But then, of course, you also talk about things like how to feed them, especially during the winter months. So really a one-stop shop about your garden birds. Couldn't cover all the species. What always happens with these talks, people come up to them at the end and say, it was really good, but you didn't talk about my favourite. Or like, but you can't please everybody. But the fact is, you know, it's a general overview. I'd happily stay talking to a group for weeks on end, quite literally, but I can't do that.
It was a long talk, but we're only going to give you a few minutes of it. So sit back and enjoy. And in fact, you can listen to the talk in its entirety by visiting our website, rte.ie/Mooney. We'll put it up there. But in the meantime, here it is, Niall Hatch at the Little Flower Hall in Bray just a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you, everybody, for coming along this morning. I really, really appreciate it. This is a bird I always like to start my garden bird talks with, because it's the blackbird. It does exactly what it says on the tin. It's black and it's a bird. Well, at least the male is. This is the male we see here in the picture. He has this lovely jet black plumage. But if you look at it closely, he's not entirely black. He has this sort of yellowy-orange beak and also a yellowy-orange ring around his eye. And that's a way to separate him easily from any kind of crow or other very dark bird that you might see. He's a good bit smaller than any crow as well. But that's a very good indication. Now, the female is exactly the same size and shape as the male, but rather than being black overall, she's sort of a very dark brown with some speckling on her chest. She looks very much like a very dark thrush, which is exactly what she is. The blackbird is the most common member of the thrush family that we have in Ireland. They're very widespread, and they stay with us here year-round. So you'll find this bird in your gardens, in the local parks, in the general countryside, all year, because they don't have to migrate. Often when I go to schools to talk to children, I always ask them, why do you think birds migrate? And the response always is, because the weather gets really cold. And that's right, but in an indirect way. It's only if the weather affects their food. So in the case of a bird, let's say like a swallow, which famously migrates all the way to southern Africa, they have to do that because their main food is small flying insects. In the summer, there's quite a few of those in Ireland, although fewer than there used to be. Our insects, our pollinating insects particularly, are declining terribly. That's bird food. That's a big problem for the swallows. But they can survive here in the summer. But then in the winter, it's too cold for those insects, they disappear, and if the swallow stayed behind, they have no food, they would die. So they have no choice at all but to migrate all the way to southern Africa, where they get a second summer. In fact, they never experience winter at all. So you might think, how lucky are they? But the fact is, migration is tough. It's really survival of the fittest, and most of those birds don't survive that migration. The vast majority die either on the way there or on the way back. It's only the lucky few, or the fittest of the fit, who can come back and then breed and produce chicks. And if they survive to their first birthday, they may live for 4 or 5 years and have over 100 chicks. But of those 100 chicks, on average, only about 2 will survive to adulthood themselves to replace their parents in the population. It's very tough. Life for the blackbird, on the other hand, is a good bit easier because it's not so specialised in its diet. They like to eat worms. That's their favourite food of all. They dig in the lawns to pull out the worms. But then in the autumn and the winter, they can switch to eating the berries on the trees. And those berries are perfect packages of food for the birds. A lot of them are poisonous to us humans, but the birds have a very different digestive system. It's no problem for them. And we get a lot of people ringing us in Birdwatch Ireland and on Mooney Goes Wild as well, complaining each year that the blackbirds come in and eating all the berries off their holly tree just before Christmas, and it's ruining the festive season. The thing is, though, that holly tree wants its berries to be eaten by that blackbird, insofar as a tree can want anything. It's millions of years of evolution, because that's how its seeds are spread. Birds don't have teeth, so they don't chew the seeds, and they digest very quickly. So without being too indelicate about it, those seeds go in one end and out the other, wrapped up in a nice little package of nitrogen-rich fertilizer in the form of bird droppings, and they grow up out of the ground. So that's why this relationship has developed between the red berries and the birds like the blackbird and the other types of thrush. Now, speaking of thrushes, this is perhaps a more familiar-looking one, a more typical-looking one. This is the song thrush, very aptly named. If you tune into the Dawn Chorus programme on the first Sunday in May that Derek does, this is one of the first birds you'll hear singing in the morning. They have a beautiful song. Now, birdsong is amazing. We humans love it. It speaks to us. It stirs something in the soul, I always think. It's inspired poets and composers for centuries. So we tend to think of it as beautiful music. For the birds, however, it's something completely different. For them, it's something extremely aggressive. It's very, very macho. In the vast majority of cases, it's just the male bird that sings. And that's certainly the case with the song thrush. So though the male and the female look identical, if you see a thrush singing, it must be the male because the female just doesn't sing. And he's not singing because he's full of the joys of spring or because he wants to impress you. He wants to defend a territory. That's a matter of life or death for him. He's warning all the other song thrushes in the area, at least the male song thrushes, this is my land, keep away, get off my land. That's what he's saying. This is my territory. And he's saying, if you dare cross into my territory, I'm going to fight you and I'll try to kill you. That's what he's doing. So it's very aggressive. The other thing that he's doing is he's trying to impress the females. He wants to attract in a mate, or in some species, more than one mate. And what happens then is he wants to show off by, how, I suppose for want of a better term, how much of his day he can waste singing. Because when he's singing, it's a sign that he has time to spare. He's not frantically trying to find food, so he's well looked after. He's lots of food in his territory. He's fit and strong and healthy. It's a sign to the female that he'd make a good provider for her and any chicks they might have together. And he can prove it by singing. And so what happens is, a lot of times the birds, the males can avoid fighting with each other because they can judge who has the strongest song. And they think, well, he's a better singer than me. He'd probably win in a fight. He's physically stronger than me, so I won't take him on. But I might take on the other guy who's only singing a little bit and sounds like he's got some sort of illness. And that's how they work. So for birdsong, that's what happens. Now, the song thrush, it's a real gardener's friend because, like the blackbird, they like to eat worms and berries, but their favourite food of all is a food that no other garden bird eats, and that's snails. Snails, of course, have a built-in protection. They have that hard shell. And most birds, their beaks just aren't strong enough to break that. But what the song thrush knows to do is just pick up the snail in the shell, take it over to a patio slab or a flat stone, bash it there, break it open, they can eat the snail inside. Sounds obvious to us, but to the birds, well, no other bird knows to do this. So when you get lots of snails, the song thrushes thrive. They do really well. However, there's a downside in over-specialising in food, as we heard with the swallows earlier. What happens is that if something happens to that food supply, in this case the snails, that can be disaster for these song thrushes. And the disaster in this case is slug pellets. It's the overuse of pesticides in gardens to kill slugs and snails. Because if a song thrush eats a poisoned snail, or even worse, feeds it to the chick in the nest, it can have a really serious effect. It doesn't necessarily kill the bird immediately. If that happened, we'd have the lawns of Ireland littered with dead birds and there'd be an uproar. It's much more insidious than that. It takes time. The toxins build up in the bird's body. It feels weaker and more lethargic over time. And rather than being able to raise maybe four or five chicks during the summer, perhaps they're only fit enough to raise one or two because they're just so weak they can't find. And over time, the population goes down and down until it disappears. So a much better way to take care of the snail problem in your garden is to get a couple of flat stones, maybe the size of the palm of your hand, dot them around the garden, underneath hedges, at the edge of flower borders, that kind of thing. And we call them thrush anvils because you know they're working when the song thrush comes in and you see little broken fragments of snail shell all around that stone. Now, over the coming weeks, if you do this and you leave the snail shells broken where they are, you see something else quite amazing. You'll see lots of other birds of many different species coming down and feeding on the little fragments of snail shell. They pick them up in their beak and swallow them. What those are female birds that need the calcium from the snail shell to produce their eggshells in the coming weeks, because snail shells and eggshells are made of the same thing. And so inadvertently, the song thrush is helping to support the bird populations of all the other species in your garden, which I think is really lovely. Now, another member of the thrush family is this one. It's the missel thrush. Missel thrush, it's a bird that you tend to find in areas with large lawns, playing fields, lots of mature trees around them. This bird was known in England for many years as the stormcock, so it often sings on the stormiest, windiest days of the year. They're again proclaiming a territory in that way. Now, like the previous two, they like to eat worms and berries. They don't eat snails. It's just the song thrush that does that. But in the winter, you'll see them sort of cooperating in an interesting way. They gather together in flocks, and they're all feeding on the worms in the ground or whatever else they can find. And some of the birds will be on sentry duty, kind of like you see in the picture here. The heads will be up watching out for danger, and the other birds are feeding. And it seems they swap around. So they take turns being on patrol to keep the flock safe, which is really quite interesting to watch. Now, the song thrush and the missel thrush, they look very similar. They can be hard to tell apart. They're both brown above and spotted below. There's a few ways to tell them apart, though. If you see the missel thrush on the screen here, you'll see that the head is up, the chest is out, like a soldier on parade, proudly showing off their medals. They kind of have almost a haughty air to them. If I go back to the song thrush, the head is down, the shoulders are up. It looks like it's feeling guilty, like it's done something, it doesn't want you to know about it. And they look a bit more furtive. So they're both brown above as well, but the colour of the brown is a bit different. I hope you can see it in the projection here. On the song thrush, it's a very warm brown. It's almost a chestnut. There's definitely a reddish tone to it, almost rusty. On the missel thrush, it's a much colder colour. It's a grey brown. There's no hint of red in there at all. The spots are different too. If you look at the spots here on the missel thrush, you'll see that they're very circular. It's almost like they've been dabbed on individually by a paintbrush. on the song thrush, those spots there in the centre of the chest, they're not round at all. They're like little upside-down heart shapes or arrowheads with a little peak at the top and a notch in the bottom. And a good pair of binoculars on your windowsill in the kitchen will help you see that quite clearly. But the easiest way to tell them apart is actually by size. If you refer to a bird that you know the size of already, so take the blackbird, for example, a very familiar bird. The song thrush will always be smaller than a blackbird, and the missel thrush is larger than a blackbird. So we saw the two side by side. The missel thrush looks substantially bigger. On to our next bird. Couldn't do a garden bird talk without showing this guy, the robin. I don't know if I get out of the room alive. That reaction that you had there, that always happens at talks. I think that if robins didn't exist, Bird Watch Ireland would have to invent them. They're the perfect advertising campaign for wildlife and for birds. Them and puffins. That's the reason we have them on our membership leaflets and on our posters. People love robins. And we certainly get more phone calls and letters and emails, both into Bird Watch Ireland and into Mooney Goes Wild, about robins than any other species. And the correspondence always goes a bit like this. People write into us and they say, I've had the same robin coming into my garden every day now for the last 20 years. He's such a friendly little chap. Now, if you're one of those people, I'm afraid I have some very bad news for you. It's actually impossible for a robin to live as old as 20. 20 for a robin is impossible. In fact, if a robin makes it to 3, it's doing well. 3 is old age for a robin. Life for most of our birds is very short and very difficult, and the smaller the bird, usually the shorter the lifespan. Seabirds live a lot longer on average than land birds do, because there's fewer predators and fewer threats to them. The robin, short life. So we break this news to people as gently as we can, but the response is always the same. People say, well, I know that's the average, but my guy's different. Sure, when we had the beast from the east, he followed around behind me in the garden. He came tapping on the window to come out and feed him. And when I'm digging and cutting the grass, he comes behind me and gets the worms and the moths. And again, not to burst too many bubbles, but there's nothing particularly unusual in your robin in doing that. They all do that, and we can't tell them apart. The thing is, in the same way that the song thrush reduces competition by being the only bird that can exploit the snails in your garden, the robin really is the only bird that can exploit the humans in the garden. See, robins, they're not the most agile of birds. On a bird feeder, they can't compete with a blue tit. They're not as big as a blackbird, so it's harder for them to get a look in to get the worms or the birdseed at your feeder. But what they seem to have realised, or evolved to realise, is that other creatures are afraid of humans, and in general, we're not that bad. So they can come close to us, and to them, it's almost like we have this invisible force field bubble around us that competitors, like the blackbirds and the blue tits, won't cross, but also the predators, like cats and hawks and foxes, won't cross either. So we give them protection, and they realise this, and they follow us around in the garden for that reason. Now, we humans, we have an innate desire to be loved. We want everyone to think well of us. And so we like to interpret this as being love or friendship. Now, as far as we know, the birds aren't capable of that. They're not doing it because they love us. We're just a means to an end. We're a meal ticket. Why not? We exploit nature all the time, and we both benefit from this. We get this beautiful bird in our garden, and this lovely robin with the red breast and its beautiful song, and they get the benefit of the food. So we both benefit. Let's keep that going. Now, the robin is the bird that breaks all the rules when it comes to the singing. I mentioned earlier that it's just the male in most species that sings. With the robin, both the male and the female sing. And most birds actually only sing when they're actually nesting, so the spring and the early part of the summer. After that, they stop singing, they have no need for territory anymore, and they become much more cooperative with each other. Not the robin. They keep a territory all year round. The female will keep a separate territory from the male. And therefore, they need to sing all year round to keep that territory. So the robin is one of the only birds you'll hear singing in the depths of winter. So that's something to bear in mind, too. So they always bring a splash of colour and a lovely sound to our gardens. Now, talking of sound, the next bird here is quite remarkable. This is the wren. This is another one of the stars of the Dawn Chorus programme. The wren is the second smallest bird in Ireland. It's a really dinky little thing. Hard to see because they're very camouflaged. As you can see on the slide here, it's a very brown, streaky little thing. It's also really small. And they tend to behave like little rodents. They creep around the ground. They hide in the bushes. They're hard to see. But the way you know they're there is by their song. And this time of year, they're really starting to sing quite a lot. And that'll ramp up all the way through April and into May. The song is so loud, you'd almost jump with fright if they start singing. One of the issues that we often have down at the main Dawn Chorus broadcast location in Cuscany Marsh, down near Cove in County Cork, it's all the microphones that Derek and the team put out in the habitats there. But if a wren happens to be right beside one of those microphones, it just blows everything out. It's just so loud. It can be up to 90 decibels, which is quite striking. That's really ear-splitting. And that song, it's a jumble of notes. It's really rapid, but there's a couple of hundred notes thrown into that little snatch of song. Absolutely amazing bird. Now, the beak of that bird, you'll see there, it's long and pointed. We can tell a lot about a bird's diet from the size and shape of its beak. So we know that beak is not sturdy enough for digging in the ground to pull up worms. It's not strong enough for crushing seed. It's perfect, though, for picking little insects off the undersides of leaves, like a pair of tweezers would. So they eat insects, they eat small spiders, things like that. And again, this is a good bird for cleaning out the pests in your garden. Now, the wren is a very famous and well-known bird. There are actually more wrens in Ireland than human beings, would you believe? They outnumber us. There's also the myths and legends around them. You think of the association with the story of the king of the birds, where it's supposed to have ridden on the back of the eagle and to cheat in the competition, or the association with St. Stephen's Day, when you have the wren boys, the ran boys, and all of that, all of those festivities. So I feel particularly sorry for the next bird, which is almost as common. We all have them in our gardens. You pass several of them today, but people don't know it. It's the dunnock. You see it here. This is the dunnock on the screen. Brown, streaky thing. Not much to write home about appearance-wise, and also not much to write home about in terms of its song. It's kind of a thin, scratchy, weak song. I'm sure to a female dunnock it sounds beautiful, but to the human ear it's kind of forgettable. And that's the secret of this bird's success. You don't notice it, and the predators don't notice it either. So it can hide away in your garden, creeping around the ground, below the bushes, and nothing finds it. So it does really well. It's a very, very common bird here in Ireland. Now, you might know it better by its old name. There's an old name that goes back over a century. It was called the hedge sparrow. So if you've heard of a hedge sparrow, that's the bird you're looking at on the screen here, the dunnock. That name has fallen out of favour because although this bird absolutely loves hedges, one of the best habitats for it, it's not a sparrow. Sparrows are a completely different family of birds. They eat seeds. They have a strong beak for crushing seeds. In most species, the male and female look completely different, whereas with the dunnock, you can't tell the difference. Male and female are the same. This bird actually isn't a sparrow. It belongs to a different family of birds called the accenters, which in most of Europe and Asia live in high mountains, apart from this one strange species which lives in lowland gardens. So they tried a new name for it, hedge accenter. That didn't catch on, because let's face it, that's a terrible name for anything. And so a new name was settled, and that's dunnock, little brown thing, little brown fella, dunnog in Irish. A very evocative name. And a lot of the Irish names for birds are actually really descriptive. So dunnock, little brown thing, little brown fella. You couldn't accuse the next bird of being drab. This is the chaffinch, a very widespread and common bird in Ireland, and easy to recognise, especially the male you see here on the screen. He has this regal blue crown on his head, pinkish red on the face and on the chest. His back is chestnut, but the bit of his back that's covered by his folded wings is bright green. So when he's flying away from you, the flash of green is what you'd see. The female is the same size and shape, but she's more different tones of beige overall, but both sexes have this lovely black and white striping in the wings and in the tail. It's a really common bird. In fact, also like the wren, it outnumbers human beings in Ireland. There are more of them than there are of us, millions and millions of them. So it's surprising this bird isn't better known. But if you tune in to Derek's Dawn Chorus programme on the 5th of May, you will hear lots of these birds singing. We'll highlight it on air for you especially. And what you'll then realise is, I've been hearing this song all my life. That bird in the spring and summer, it's the sound of the Irish countryside. It's absolutely everywhere. It's a descending series of notes that kind of end in a flourish. Hard to describe, but once you hear it, you'll know it straight away. Now, this bird, it thrives in areas where you've got lots of weeds and lots of roadside verges with plants that are let go to seed. Also in areas where you have tillage farming, because that beak, strong and conical and short, that's for crushing seed. This bird makes a living by crushing seed, and that's where the name chaffinch comes from. Chaff, what was separated from the wheat. Now, I regularly go to talk in schools, primary schools. I must have talked to tens of thousands of children over the last few years. I've yet to meet a single one when I ask them, what's chaff, who can answer the question? Which is a bit sad, isn't it? So chaff, what's separated from the wheat? This bird would go through the wheat sweepings in the farmyard and would feed on the kernels of wheat that had been missed by the farmer. The Irish name is completely different. The Irish name is Rí Rua, Red King, a reference to the regal appearance of the male with the red on the face and the chest and the blue on the crown. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And if you want to hear Niall's talk in its entirety, you can visit our website, rte.ie/Mooney.